The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly podcast show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expensive property industry. We've chatted about high interest rates a lot on the podcast over the last year or so. It's March, and there's another SA Reserve Bank repo rate decision towards the end of the month. But most people are expecting a cut, not just yet. The high interest rates are having an impact on homeowners with bonds and the resi property market. On our latest podcast today, we speak to the CEO of SA Home Loans, Rob Kelso, for his insights on the market. SA Home Loans launched to the public back in 1999, believe it or not, as South Africa's first non-bank mortgage lender. It was co-founded by Simon Stockley, who pioneered the securitization industry in the country. Stockley has not been involved with the company for a long time, but when SA Home Loans was started some 25 years ago, the SA interest rate stood at a scary 23.5%. Rob, as current CEO, has been with the company for almost 20 years and has seen the highs and lows of interest rates and the property sector. Welcome to the Property Pod, Rob.
Afternoon, Suren. Looking forward to the conversation.
SA Home Loans shook the market up when it was established some 25 years ago. I read, on your LinkedIn profile that you've been with the group for most of that time and have moved up the ranks. Before we get into the property detail, can you give us some insight into the company and its growth over the years?
Yes, sure. So we've just celebrated our 25-year anniversary in February. So it's always a good time to pause and look back at some of the milestones along that journey. And while I wasn't there at the start, as you said, so the company's 25 years old, I've been there for much of that journey. And it really has been quite an amazing ride. So a business founded here in Durban back in 1999, by a group of ex-bankers who'd left the old NBS bank stable, and they came in looking to try and disrupt the home loan market. And of course, at that stage, the home loan market was dominated by four big traditional banks. Interest rates were at record levels, as you've just said, around 23%. And I think what SA Home Loans really did do back then as a startup was bring competition to those banks, bring some choice for consumers. And I think really brought to the market the ability and the awareness for consumers around the ability to switch a bond, to improve their interest rates, to access some equity in that home, to use for other purposes, as well as a real focus on a personalized service journey with a group of dedicated property specialists. So that was where it started. I think quickly became a national brand, clearly home loans around the country with a number of branches in all the main centers and towns of the country. And over those years, I mean, there have been challenges, of course, and cycles. We've had global financial crises. We've had COVID pandemics and the like. And over that time, I think we saw a number of other startups, a number of other non-bank aspirants in the market come and go. But the end result really has been that we have kind of built this business, which is now the only non-bank home loan lender in the market, in this mainstream market. We occupy a unique position as a result. So when you're the only dedicated specialist, home loans is what we do. Unlike our competitors, you obviously have a number of different products and different focus areas. We are able to really establish that position as the specialist to consumers to assist them on that journey. So over 25 years, I mean, we look back now, 25 years on, the proof is in what we've done, and we've really enabled home ownership for now more than 300,000 South African households across towns and cities in all the provinces. We've lent in excess of 170 billion rand into that property market over that time. So it really is quite an amazing success story when you look back at it. There's also another side to it. I mean, maybe it's worth a conversation on the funding side. So, I mean, that's the consumer part, but there's obviously a really interesting funding story as well with quite a lot of innovation and disruption which came in to the system with how we approach the market.
Sure. You're welcome to go ahead and give us some insight on that before we have the follow-up questions.
Sure. So, I mean, I think on the funding side, I mean, our business, I mean, as you well know, the banks fund themselves through deposits from individuals and from corporates, a lot of retail and wholesale deposits. That's how they do home loan lending. And as a non-bank, we clearly don't have that luxury or that access to deposits. So we had to, right up front, come up with a more innovative way of doing it and pioneered a funding model which bypassed those banks and looked to link borrowers directly into the South African capital markets. So that's your pension funds, your savings funds, and trying to link those borrowers with a process known as securitization. And why it was quite pioneering back then is back in 2001, SA Home Loans brought the first residential mortgage-backed securitization to the market. We called it Tegweni 1, named after our home here in Durban, at Tegweni. And Tegweni 1 really was the first, what I call the first issuance of scale to the market, which was a public issuance, well supported by the capital market investors. That's your pension funds, your collective investment schemes. And I think that funding model really was the underpin to our success. The support of those investors, the ability to raise that funding into a lending product, which really does require quite a lot of funding if you're going to be successful and compete with the banks. And again, 25 years on, we are an active issuer in that market. We enjoy great support from the pension funds, the collective investment schemes, the capital market investors. We are, without doubt, I think the biggest issuer in that securitization market. We've raised, again, well in excess of 90 billion rand from those funds. Again, doing their part, I guess, to link into the home ownership creation around the country.
Thanks for that insight, Rob. Just for out of interest, Rob mentioned NBS. If people with long memories will know that NBS was taken over by Nedbank. So it seems that it also sprouted a separate business that's independent with SA Home Loans. Talking about Durban, is the group still based out of Durban and will it ever look at listing? Is that a question to ask you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we still headquartered in Durban. So here in the north of Durban is our head office. It's where a lot of our activity happens. We do have branches all around the country, as I said, but I think as a headquarter in Durban and KZN, it really has served us well. So we've got, again, a fairly unique position as that unique thing of being a head office in the financial service sector based in Durban. It does mean we've become what I would call an employer of choice here on the East Coast. We've got access to a really great base of skills and people here who want to live in Durban, love the KZN lifestyle. And we've been able to build really skilled teams across all the disciplines of our business. So the Durban head office has worked well for us, but the national brand is obviously equally important with great people in all our branches around the country. Would we ever list? I mean, I think that was probably an early ambition of the business back in the 2000s, was to think about taking the business to listing. I think what we probably realized is that would no longer be what I would say is a short-term ambition. We have a couple of big shareholders behind our business. We've got a big bank in the form of Standard Bank through their private equity side, as well as the government employee pension fund with an investor consortium as investors in our business. And a business like ours, I think what we really benefit from is having shareholders and funders who are aligned with us in what we're trying to do. The markets we serve, governments, for example, is a great focus area for us. Government employee borrowers are a strength for us in terms of servicing that market. So to have their pension funds sit behind us makes a lot of strategic sense. And with those aligned interests, I think we have the best impact on the market. So listing, I wouldn't think, is on the near-term horizon for us. I think our current structures serve us well.
Well, it makes sense considering the amount of delistings and companies going private, as it were, with private equity becoming a bigger sector in South Africa. Turning to the property part of the interview now, yes. SA Home Loans has also mentioned some expectations around trends in its latest release and trends expected for 2024 and 2025. Can you share some insights as everybody is closely watching the interest rates and when it will come down?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, yeah, interest rates is clearly front of mind for all of us. And I've heard over the last few weeks you've spent quite a bit of time discussing interest rate outlooks. And the reason really is interest rates are the most sensitive factor to the property market. So we, through the cycles, can always say the two things that drive activity in the housing market are going to be interest rates where we are in the rate cycle, and confidence of the consumer. So where are they confidence-wise to make what is always going to be the biggest financial decision they'll make in their lifetime, is to buy a home. So you need interest rates and confidence to be on your side. And I think our property market over the last couple of years has not benefited from that. So we've had, as you well know, interest rates have gone up extensively. And we've had obviously challenges with things like load shedding and cost of living impacts on consumers and inflation rates. It's almost been the perfect storm for property, where we've seen property transactions fall quite precipitously. So last year, as an example, you saw in the housing market probably about a 25% contraction in mortgage extension. So a sizable correction on the back of that stress we're seeing with the consumer. And the outlook, I would guess, again, will be linked to when interest rates come down. And we all look at our crystal balls, and forecasting economics is a dangerous game, given that there can be short-term shocks that change the outlook. But I think the consensus view remains we are at the peak of the rate cycle. The next move is down. Our expectation probably would be the next move is down around May or July is the likely outcome. Like, that's where most of the market sits. Probably would have been earlier if we'd been asked 6 months ago. But I think a lot of the challenges in the system with continuing load shedding, with inflation being a bit sticky, and particularly some of the global macroeconomic factors. So you've got a lot of global factors at play out of our control, out of our MPC's control, which ultimately will, I think, dictate when rates do come down. I think you can probably bet on it being by the third quarter is probably the safest answer.
You mentioned property transactions dropping by like 25% in 2023. Which part of the market felt the most pain?
Yeah, so I think we saw, I mean, I would say across almost all value segments, there was similar stress, I would say, in terms of a decline in volumes. So it wasn't like there was the lower or cheaper end of the market was more pressurized than the upper end. If anything, if you look at the data, the sort of luxury segment, the market above 3 or 4 million rand house price, in terms of value of mortgages last year, probably held up the best, strangely enough, because there's a lot of noise around some of those segments in the markets. But pretty equally stressed across the value segments. I think if you start to look to affordability of the consumer, that's where the nuance comes in. I think clearly the middle to lower middle income consumer, I think what the bankers would call your interest rate sensitive markets, those with the smallest affordability surpluses when they're taking out debt, I think clearly there we have seen probably more strain as you go down the income brackets, which then has manifested in clearly a slowdown in activity in those segments of the market as well.
And what about arrears in credit portfolios? Surely arrears could get worse before it gets better, as rate decreases, when they do come down, will take a little bit of time to flow through the market, as it were.
Yeah, and I think we're at the peak of rates, we think. I think important context is we haven't had a rate increase now since May last year. So we're almost 9 months away from when interest rates peaked. And I think that's why there is some reason for a little optimism that we're probably not far away from the peak in arrears and the peak in credit losses in the industry. A nine-month lag clearly has allowed consumers time to catch up to what happened in interest rates, to look to start to rehabilitate. Clearly, arrears are high across the industry, and that's across home loans, across all consumer credit classes. We've seen, I think all the banks now have come out with interims or updates to mention distressed borrowers in the retail segment. I saw F&B out with interims yesterday talking about the consumer being under stress and credit loss ratios being higher than normal. That's a perspective you'll see across the banks as they come out with results, is elevated arrears, elevated default levels. My view, I think, is that we're probably not far off the peak in defaults and arrears with the 9 months we've had since the last rate increase. And what you'll start to see is, once it peaks, slow, steady recovery in arrears levels as the consumer has salary increases, as they've adjusted their living spend. And of course, as rates start to come down, that'll accelerate that in the second half of the year. So I do think we'll see improvements in arrears over 2024 into 2025. That again goes hand in hand with the broader market. That would in itself spark confidence that in itself sparks people starting to look at buying property again as affordability comes back into the system.
Talking about confidence, I noticed that almost an optimistic tone to your sentiments in that latest press release. For 2024 and 2025 on residential property and home loans front, do you want to share some insights on that? Because, you know, we tend to get bogged down in South Africa. Yes, the elections are coming up in May, but there's 12 months in the year.
Yes, I think we do in South Africa get quite near-term focused on all the negativity around and the bad news around load shedding and inflation and electioneering. So it is quite easy, I think, to get stuck in the moment of rates are high, affordability is low, arrears are going up. I guess we kind of step back and look at the perspective of rates are now at the peak, so they won't go up anymore. The next direction is down. We do think confidence is starting to improve generally for consumers. Inflation's coming down. Cost of living is not quite as stressed as it was a year ago. You start to add all those factors up and we say, with interest rates starting to come down slowly, with the consumer starting to be able to afford a bit more than he was a year ago, with confidence improving, with elections behind us come May, which obviously always causes volatility in the market, all those things add up to a slow and steady recovery this year, we think in the second half. We're not talking a big bounce back, but slow, steady trends in the right direction. And then hopefully that's accelerating as we head into 2025. I think beneath all our optimism is that housing and the need for housing and the dream of home ownership doesn't go away with a down cycle in the economy. So as an asset class, it is a long-term need. Clearly, there's a need for housing. As South Africans, we have an embedded culture of home ownership. And I think you put those together and you say, as the economic fundamentals start to improve, South Africans by nature will go back to looking to buy property, buy that home, and that in itself brings optimism for 2025.
There you have it. 2025 is the year to watch for things to pick up more than this year. But Rob, appreciate your time on the podcast. That was Rob Kelso, the CEO of SA Home Loans.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.